Welcome to another episode with the Colombian Catwoman, and we continue our series of Black expats in Spain. On today's episode, we have the lovely Andrea in the house. Andrea, thank you for joining us today. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for responding to my call to action. My plea, Black community in Spain, where are you? Come hither. So, Andrea, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please, where you reside and what you do? Just a snippet.
I'm currently living in Madrid, Spain. I've been in Spain 10 years. I live in Madrid. I live in the center of Madrid, and I'm currently working as an English language assistant. I was a psychotherapist in London for nearly 20 years or so, and then
Wow.
I came to Spain in 2012.
Okay, so it's your anniversary. It's your decade anniversary. I'm thinking of it's our anniversary.
Yep, September was my anniversary. But the good thing is that 10 years, I can now become Spanish.
You want to become a Spanish citizen? You want to.
Yes, I do. I do, because it will mean I'll still be European. And I think I'm collecting as many passports as I can. I've got a Bajan, well, a Bajan citizen. My parents, well, my dad's from Barbados, but my mum spent a lot of her years in Barbados and loved the island. And they're both buried there. So I've got Barbados citizenship. My mum's from
Wow.
Nevis and St Kitts, so I've got that
Really?
one. British. And so yes,
But my
Spanish.
father's family, side of the family, is from St. Kitts and from St. Kitts as well. So I know Nevis is part of it, but from St. Kitts, from the capital, Bastia. The Caribbean represented here.
Yes.
So 10 years in Spain, how are you feeling? Post-Brexit, pre-Brexit, how are you feeling overall after having weathered all of these storms?
I weathered the storm. I'm really pleased that I weathered the storm. I mean, I'm really pleased that I stayed, because I actually think Britain, that it seems like an absolute disaster. I mean, I say Britain, I mean, I'm from London. I'm going back on Saturday. Every time I go, it doesn't feel like home anymore, really. It's kind of it's so expensive in London, and the government, I just can't tolerate the idea of going back to that kind of government. Although we have a person of color as prime minister, but as we know, he's not really going to do it much for those of us that are working
Establishing
class.
clinic. He is a person of color, also a multi-millionaire whose wife doesn't pay taxes. The list goes on and on and on. He's a man in a brown skin, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's not going to really make any difference to my life. I mean, it's good for Britain. I do think it's good for Britain. But I do also question, why is it, though, do you think that the Conservative Party are the ones that have the female prime ministers and now the first person of colour? Interesting.
What's your theory behind that?
I don't know. I think they're better at tokenism. But it's not like that they're all inclusive or anything. They're better at tokenism. And I think when it comes to the right, they see the bigger picture. They just want to get in there and use their corruption to fill their pockets. So they'll, have anyone, as long as they think they can win the election, in order to, get there.
I think we can talk about politics a lot, so very clear about their intentions. I'd say that I agree with you there. They know what they want. It's everything for themselves.
Exactly. And if they'll get it better with Richie, fine.
Well,
Or woman,
I'm
fine.
going to kind of finish on the politics and just say I do think he will do a good job. That's what I do think, because I think he's a solid kind of guy. That's it. Moving on swiftly. So,
Yes.
London no longer feels like home. You were
Yeah,
born.
I mean, when I go there, I know I will feel. I mean, the thing that I love when I go to London, get off the plane, get down to mixed, multicultural, it's just vibrant colours, people, food, smells, and I'll be like, oh, I miss this
For 5 minutes.
for 5 minutes. Well, no, probably no, probably quite. I'll have a very nice time, but then I'll be like, yeah, I'm going back.
So what made you move to Spain originally, being a Londoner?
Well, first of all, left politics aside, but I have to say it's the government. I was a psychotherapist in the NHS. Government came and they cut lots of services. I mean, say what you like about the Blair government, there were lots of good social services. They invested in the NHS. I was working in the NHS. They started to make cuts, and it became quite dangerous to continue working in that field, not just for the clients, but also for the workers. I was just below a consultant. There was no one to supervise my practice. They were asking us to work with more and more difficult families that needed a lot of support, but there's no infrastructure for it. So I was quite, second redundancy was coming around. I thought, you know what, it's time to make a change. And just by chance, as I'd studied Spanish, a friend's friend needed someone to come to Seville to work as a translator. And my friend kind of said, oh, Andrea will do that. And I thought, well, why
Okay.
not? I did.
So,
Yes.
Madrid, Seville, how was that transition for you?
I was in Seville, first of all, for 3 months. Then I went back to London. And within the minutes of being back in London, I knew I didn't want to stay there. So I got a job in Seville. And my first year in Seville, I thought, oh, this is nice. This is very Spanish. I didn't know Spain. Oh
Olé!
no, well, it is all that flamenco and all that. And I didn't really know
The home of
the
it.
place. Yeah, exactly. Because I did Latin American studies, so I lived in Ecuador, I lived in New York, and I know mostly about Latin America. I traveled all around Latin America, so it was all like, oh, this is interesting. After a year, I began to realize it is a small provincial place, and being constantly negra guapa became too much for me. And I was on the verge of actually spinning out big time at the next person that did that. I couldn't even go for a drink in a bar, in a square, without some man wanted to come up and think they could touch your hair, make comments that I'd been to Madrid the November before and thought it was quite a nice city, big city. I'm a big city girl. And yeah. Persuaded a friend to go with me and move to Madrid. And I haven't looked back, to be honest. It's not perfect, but it's better than Seville.
Okay, better than Seville and better than London for you. Would you move to a different province or part of Spain?
I don't know. I will never say never because I don't really plan to live in these places. It just came up. Yeah, when I did my Latin American studies degree, I didn't even consciously think about moving to Quito. It was just that other women that were friends on my course, white women, I say, were going to Quito. And it was very interesting. I think looking back, my tutor, white guy, was saying to me, don't go to Quito, go to Guayaquil. And I'm thinking, well, my friends are going to Quito. The man couldn't say, you need to go to Guayaquil because there's more black people in Guayaquil and you'll have a better time. I just said, I'm not going to Quito. Why is he not? Yeah, I mean, it was just, I thought, so why are you trying to separate me from my, I was younger then, and I didn't know Ecuador, so I didn't know to ask the question, like, is it because I is black? Which I probably, do you know what I mean? And he couldn't even bring himself to say it.
So English, so go to Guayaquil. Just go to Guayaquil. So did
Guayaquil is. So I ended up in Quito, and
was the
maybe
experience for you in Quito?
I ended up, I mean, being students on a student grant in Quito and Ecuador at that time meant that I was fairly wealthy, probably the first time in my life that I felt wealthy. So I'd spent a lot of time just hanging out in sort of places that I probably wouldn't now. And the Ecuadorians that I did meet and know were quite rich Ecuadorians, mainly white, non-Indigenous white Ecuadorians. It was fine. I mean, there was. To be honest, there was less racism than I suppose that would make sense. Actually, it's a country that's got had established black population that I didn't know at the time, that you would have less racism,
Not
but it's still there.
necessarily, not
And
necessarily
not
that you would have less
necessarily
because there's more ignorance and less
true.
education.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I got the sense they're a little bit more educated than people that are in Seville, but it's
That's
a
fighting
personal
talk.
opinion. It's not empirical evidence or anything. This is what I mean. It was interesting, and from there, I got to travel around South America, which was fun and a really good opportunity to have as a 19-year-old girl, and it was at a time when people weren't really traveling around South America, so I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good.
Where did you travel to in South America?
I've been all around the continent, really. The only places I haven't been on the South American, I've been all through Central America. The only place I haven't been in Central America is Belize. I've not been to
Okay.
Belize, although my aunt's from Belize. I've never been there, but I've been all South America. The places I haven't been is easier. I haven't been to Uruguay, Paraguay, or Argentina. And the
Okay.
reason I didn't go to Argentina was because everyone kept saying it's very European. But I want to go now.
You were
So,
gonna, and
yeah.
supposed to be quite racist as well. They've done a lot to get rid of the indigenous and the black community there. So, yeah. Anyway, Latin American aside, back to Spain. My cat just kind of wants my attention. One of my cats wants my attention. So apologies
Have
for
two
screaming
cats.
kittens. Three. My cats. I am the Colombian cat woman because I adopted my cats whilst living in Colombia. I adopted four
Wow, you
cats.
lived in Colombia. I loved Colombia. That's what I liked it.
That's what everybody says. Where did you travel to or around in
I
Colombia?
mean, it was just a quick trip when I lived in Ecuador. I went to Cartagena, Medellin, Barranquilla. Ooh, I can't remember where else. Parque Tayrona.
Love Parque Tayrona. Love that place.
I
Beautiful.
really, really enjoyed it. I mean, it felt very Caribbean to me. So, I'd like to go back. I do sometimes have this fantasy about living in Colombia. Maybe, who knows?
I lived in Cartagena
Yeah,
on the
nice.
Caribbean coast, so I
Yeah.
don't know what to say. That's where my Colombian cat journey started, but enough about me to
Yeah.
you. So Madrid is place for now, and it's been a great fit for you. You're not sure about anywhere else, but there's no kind of pull to move to a quieter place, a warmer place, that everything's kind of
Well,
okay for you at the moment.
the thing is, I've realized I'm a city girl. I mean, Madrid has all the things I like about London, but cheaper and nearer to get to. And I'm fortunate. I mean, I live in Antón Martín, which is the place which is quite near Lavapiés, which has an established black community. So I feel that it's a good place for me to be
Okay. And
at
are
the moment.
you
I would never say never to moving.
Okay. And are you part of the wider black community that's there in Madrid? Do you kind of socialize with the black expats?
I do. I'm involved in the various groups. We've got melanin groups and things, and so I get involved with those activities with the group. I mean, it got to a point at one point where I was just like, I need help. And fortunately, in Madrid, you can reach out and find your group. And I did
Wow.
find a group.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What would you say to other black expats that are thinking about moving to Spain?
It's difficult because I don't know everywhere in Spain. I mean, quite often you get in the group that I'm in saying, "Oh, I'm going to move to Seville," and I can only talk about my experience. But there are other people that have had like a great time there and they love it. I mean, I don't let racists stop me from doing anything. It's just go and see. I mean, my thing is like because I've done it a few times now. It's not the end of the world. You move somewhere, you don't like it, you move on.
Exactly, always the case. I'm gonna ask you the question here. What one negative thing would you say about Madrid or Spain, and two positives would you like to share with us?
The negatives I say are the racism, the ignorance, the racism and sexism. There's quite a lot of it still.
Is that the case in Madrid?
I mean, Madrid is still part of Spain. I mean, I've not been harassed at all in the streets and stuff, but I've had ignorant comments from people. I mean, I'm
Such as
laughing at
what?
that. I mean, well, dating is an issue. The exoticism, the dating. Men, when I used to go to clubs, men coming up to you and saying, a bit like that lady did the other day, which part of Africa are you from? And when I go, I'm not from Africa, I'm from London. They think, Senegal? London.
Shutters go up on their ears when you say London because it doesn't correspond with what they're
It
expecting to hear.
doesn't commute. I mean, there's a lot of that. I've been fortunate in terms of like I found good housing straight away and my landlords are fine. Lots of other people have problems with finding housing because of the color of their skin. There is racism here, and a lot of it is kind of based around ignorance or not wanting to learn. I think, people are aware, they just like think we're being stupid. As a sort of mixed American friend of mine said, North American friend of mine said, they see this, you know, it as our culture. Like, you know, when we say something about racism, it's because we're British.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're American, and you know, we need to understand. Oh, I had my coordinator at the school I was at before, when I said something about blackface at Christmas and having to listen to comments about Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not racist, it's Spanish culture. As though the two
means
things
it's okay, it's fine, it's better that he does it. Yeah.
Yep. Although the two things couldn't exist together. It's like, oh my goodness me. But the main thing is like dating. I mean, you know, I'll date anyone, but it really does grind you down. And for the first time in my life, I did get to the point of thinking, I'm not dealing with white men anymore, you know, because the nonsense you have to hear is shocking.
So was that the two positive and the one negative?
I'm trying to think, where was the positive?
The positive
about Madrid for me is that it's, as a capital city, it's still livable for working class people. Okay. So as a working person, I live right in the centre, and so I can walk to everywhere. And also, you can get reasonably, you know, priced food, drink, and have a nice life that is outside of the home. You know, the squares for the, like, the whole idea of aperitivos and going for like a wine for €2 and some nice food. And it's good. The weather is good.
Weather's
as well.
Good. Thank you. We got
cold here at the moment. It's freezing.
It's quite cold here today for me as well, but it's not the same. We're not talking about the same kind of
cold. Cold in the Canaries.
In comparison to what I'm used to, it's December. It is December, Jeanette. It is December. Exactly. So, dating for you has been not so great, we would say, dating in Spain.
I think it might have been the same in the UK, but you can't compare, can you? You know, I don't know if it would have been the same. Because, you know, I don't know. I've not done it in the UK, like the apps. I mean, when I was in the UK, we met people in a different traditional kind of way. I think it's the times, you know, friends of friends, work, those kinds of things. They've only ever really been on the apps here. And people seem to think they can say all sorts to you behind a text message.
That's also part of digital kind of world and phenomena that we're in, which, you know, kind of people think that anonymity means you can do and say anything that you want to. But I also imagine that the older that we are, wants and needs are also different, and are, the options are smaller as well. I'm speaking maybe for myself here, but also that's a factor maybe as well in terms of, you know.
I don't know. I think I'm a lot of options. I mean, there's no shortage of options, but they're not attractive options.
I'm going to give you a little anecdotal story. I interviewed Georgie, who lives in Madrid. You may well know each other, you may not. And she was saying that in the UK, she had expectations of, you know, she only dated black guys, and their expectations were that they were educated, and, you know, and certain other things. And then she said she had to change her expectations in Madrid to them being legal in the country, and I think having their own teeth. I think that's basically kind of, you know, what she moved from in terms of how open she had to become, and still with that huge change in terms of her expectations, still a struggle.
My thing is, like, don't be a racist and don't live with your mum and dad. I mean, yeah.
And it still proves to be hard. I mean, dating is hard anyway in the 21st century, which is why apps, some make it easier, but we know racism exists as well within apps. They're an extension of the real world.
True.
So, I don't know if I've asked you already, what would you say to black expats who are thinking about coming over? Have I already asked you that?
I don't think I answered it. I mean, I think I did. You did. Yeah. I mean, just come and give it a go. I mean, I wouldn't say never. Come and give it a go, because each person's different. But you have to be aware that there's racism. But there's racism everywhere. I mean, you know, I was born in the UK. You were born in the UK. It's not like we never had racism there, you know.
I'm tired of it.
Oh, I'm so tired. I am so tired. It's true. But I mean, it's rare. It's in the UK. I think that's one thing. Another thing that I think about the UK, which puts me off, I do think it's now much more out in the open following the Brexit campaign, because that was a racist campaign, and now people think they can say and do anything. It's just proven how the English politeness has gone to some extent.
I think that's more to do with the Americanization of the world, that in America people can even say and shoot whoever they want to, depending upon the color of their skin, and people see those kind of actions. It's a culmination of things, in my opinion, but we
It
know that in
is.
America people can be as bold and say and be a president and do and say what they want to. So it's kind of those influences, that's my opinion. Can I ask you a personal question? So you're still renting in Madrid.
Yes.
You answer this as you see fit. Is that by choice? Is that because that's the best fit for you? Do you have the intentions of like making Spain your home and buying
Yes.
somewhere in Spain? Is that
Yes,
your
I do.
option?
I do, and I know I'm fortunate that I can do that, because I did get my foot on the property ladder in the UK. I can do that. But I wanted to see, yeah. I mean, it's not even a question, because I bought in London and I left it. So it was about being sure whether I want to stay here, but that's my next step. I think
Okay,
so.
good. Okay, so you'll be able to access that. And properties in Spain are a lot cheaper than they are in the
They
UK, so.
are. But when you look at ratio of salary to more, it's about the same. It's about the same, because actually we don't earn that much money in here in Madrid. Well, in my field as an English teacher, well, in actually most fields, when I think about how much people earn in Spain compared to what people earned in London,
London is one thing. I'm from Birmingham and kind of London is a special place in the UK, bless you. The rest of the UK is kind of maybe like earning about 15 grand a year, I would say, kind of, average salaries. That's what I think. And I was looking at jobs recently in the UK, salaries just haven't gone up.
They've
Pretty
not
crazy.
gone up anywhere. Sorry. But
Bless
then the
you.
cost of living has. We've got hyperinflation, but no wages are going up, so.
So there are a couple of things there. Cost of living in Madrid, how have you found it? Have you been really impacted by, what's going on in the world, or is it has it kind of been okay?
I've been okay, but I've started to notice that things like food shopping and stuff, it's going up. It's also ridiculous here, because there's quite a big expat community and people coming in to work, that landlords think they can put ridiculous prices and people are pr paying it. I mean, I've been criticized a lot because I'm quite vocal on the groups that I'm on. When people are renting out, trying to rent out flats and rooms for ridiculous prices, I always comment,
What do
because
you
one
class
of
as a
the
ridiculous price? What live in the Canaries, so it's let's hear what you think. What's a ridiculous price for a
Now
one
I'm
bedroom?
seeing people a room for 700 euros.
Okay, that's just a room in a rented property.
We've like six people.
Okay, that's kind of London prices, no? I would
Yeah.
imagine. Yep.
Yeah, it's really, but people don't earn London wages. And I always say, well, have you seen how much that either the mortgage or the whole contract is? Because absolutely no. I mean, I've been very lucky that I've got a two bedroom quite cheap. I've got two bedroom for the price of a one bed of a room that people are playing, because I've got good landlords. I moved in 8 years ago. I'm a good
Wow.
tenant, and they're not greedy.
Good. That's fantastic to
Because
hear.
you can get, for my friend recently, I've got a friend who recently got a very nice two bedroom flat for 800 euros,
In
and
Madrid,
another
in the
friend got.
capital, that's good.
Yeah, right in the capital. My another friend just down the road from me got a one bedroom, very nice flat. It had been an Airbnb, so like nicely done up.
Wow.
650. So
Wow,
you
wow,
can
wow.
still find the bargains.
Do I
It's
live
not even the bargains, it's the realistic prices for Madrid.
Well, those are really good prices because those are the kind of prices that people are asking for here and more. Because
Yeah.
we have the same thing of, we're an all year round tourist destination, so people want to be here. So yeah, these are pretty expensive. Integrating into the culture, whatever that means to you, have you tried to? Does it mean anything to integrate into Spanish culture? Have you been able
You?
to? Does it mean? Did you want to?
I did want to, but then I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm not prepared to be friends with people that clearly don't want me to be their friend. But I'm quite fortunate in that I've got Spanish friends from the local area now, because I've got a I've got a friend who's she's half Spanish, half British, and grew up in South London. And she's come back and moved here. And just getting involved in activities, if you get involved into a lot of the community activities, I thought I'm more likely to meet like-minded people involved in community activities. So I've
Definitely.
made some Spanish friends there, yes. I think if you get involved, you do. And I've got a friend, a British friend, who's been here many, many years, who's a musician and through the music scene. If you've got something that you're into, I think you can. But I don't think it's like integrate, integrate. People say that British people are cold and Londoners are cold. I always say, well, in my experience, it's not a fact, it's my experience. What I found is, yeah, I'm reserved. I meet you, and if I like you, I take my time, and then we can become friends. Once you're a friend, you're a friend. I've not found that here in Spain. I found quite a lot of because a lot of people have friends from primary school or the Pueblo, and outsiders, it's harder to get in. Whereas for Londoners, initially, we're not all like, oh, you'll be like, all right. And then when you're a friend, you're a friend. It's tight, you know. So, but I do feel like I've got friends. I've got Spanish friends.
Okay, so you wanted to integrate, you've integrated to a certain degree, but kind of just that's it for you. And would you say that you spend more of your time with, Black British community or with an English speaking community? Is that
I spend most of my time with an English speaking community.
mm.
And they can be from everywhere, Australia, the USA. I've got friends from all over, but they are predominantly English speaking.
Okay, cool. There are other things. Another question that I wanted to ask you. You practiced in the mental health sector in the UK. Mental health is now on the radar, even in Spain after COVID. So the government has, to my knowledge, put a lot of money into providing services. I know that you haven't practiced for a long time, but is it a field that you would be interested in getting back into here in Spain?
I vaguely thought about it. I'm thinking about it. The situation is because I didn't get my qualifications co-validated or whatever it is to practice. I can practice as a therapist, but not as a. I couldn't say I'm a psychotherapist because it doesn't really exist. It's psychologists. I'm not. I thought about doing a master's, another master's. And I thought, well, no, I'm not going to do a Spanish master's. I have thought about it. It's something that I might do in the long run because at the moment I'm actually quite fine doing what I'm doing. So, but yeah, maybe.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to ask me or say to me or tell our viewers or let other people
New York,
know?
so you're, which island are you in the Canaries?
So I'm on the island of Gran Canaria. I live in
Yeah,
the capital, Las Palmas.
and how's that for you there? Because I've been there on holiday, but
The weather's good. The sun shines
yeah.
every day. But life is quite difficult here for me anyway. There are lots of I think it's the case in the whole of Spain, but there are lots of issues. Accommodation is an issue because it's an island. There's only so many places that people can live in. There are only so many properties available. We've got the fact that it's an all-year-round tourist destination. The weather's warm, so we have all the snowbirds coming down from, Germany, all the cold countries in Europe looking for somewhere to stay. So, properties are scarce. Cost of living is quite expensive here. It's one of the highest places in Spain in terms of unemployment and the cost of living. So the Canarian basket, the food basket as it's called in Spanish, is a lot more expensive here than it's comparable to Madrid, but without the Madrid money. So for example, like I went to baked beans have gone up, and baked beans aren't Spanish food, but I was in Mercadona this week, and baked beans are now 1.75.
For a big bean. Ooh.
They were 65, 70, 80, 90, 175. I bought some cheese. I mean, these are like kind of luxuries, but we're talking about Spanish basic food basket. Food's expensive. At times, avocados that are grown on the island, like 9 euros, 10 euros, 12, 13, 14 euros a kilo,
Wow.
grown here. Basic
Oh.
food. Good thing about living here, the sun shines all the time. It's an island, so crime isn't really an issue. And the food's local. So we're eating good quality food all of the time, but things aren't that cheap.
Okay, interesting. But how long have you been there?
I moved here in 2019. So yeah, four long, hard years is what I will say. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of my liberty here, but what I will say, it was pre-Brexit. And I came here, you're in the mental health sector, so dealing with like my own mental health crisis. I'm now in a much better place than I was. Healed 100%? No. Support I need? No. So a better place to be dealing with mental health issues, I would say. I've seen psychiatrists here and like support here because I speak Spanish, so I've been able to fight and defend myself in areas that I've needed to and ask for the help. But support and friendship groups and all the rest of it, hell to the no, difficult here for me.
I mean, that's one of the main things that's holding me here in Madrid is like if I move somewhere else to start again, I can start again. I've started again like three or four times I've moved to places, but I do feel I've got a really good support network, and it's very, very important.
It is, yeah, it is. I don't know what to say. I mean, you have to obviously do what's right for you and stay in the place that suits you best. It's a long journey when you're nomadic and you've moved a lot. So I've moved around a lot and I'm tired of moving. And the older you get, more physical baggage with my Colombian cats makes things even more difficult.
Yeah, I've got my two cats now as well. And I think once I got them, I was like, I know you can move with them, but I think it's a sign that I'm setting up home. And I do love them. They're fantastic. My little pussy cats are great.
Same here, same here. You've been here 10 years. What would you say that Andrea back, who was back in, where are we, 2022, so 2015, 16, 17, so 5 years ago, what would you tell that Andrea?
I don't know, actually. Probably, it's okay here. You've found your place, and you're gonna settle.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Do you have any more questions for me? Is there anything else that you'd like to say that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share with our viewers?
No, I don't think so. No, I think that's.
Well, I'm going to say thank you very much for your time, for your honesty, and for your energy, and again, responding to my call to action. This has been another episode of Black Expats in Spain. And my name is Jeanette, aka the Colombian Catwoman. Thank you very much, Andrea, for your time. If you want to learn Spanish, then I'm available. Please drop me an email, jce101@hotmail.co.uk. Please like, share, and subscribe to the channel. And let us know what you think of today's podcast. We are
Thank
over and
you.
out. Thank you very
Thank
much.
you. Bye-bye.